Lost Church. Amen.
God bless you. Thank you. Well, first of all, I just want to make sure you all understand that I'm not good with this. I sort of shake it all over the place and forget to hold it in its proper position, but I'll do my best. And at the same time, I just want to thank your pastor for inviting me. We met several months ago at the ministerial as they were giving me a little party, a little going away party. And he asked me back then when I retired if I would come. So here I am. And thank you so much, because I feel as though I've come full circle standing here today, because for many of you, you know that my roots are in the Pentecostal church. That's where God got a hold of me. I'd received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my home, and it made such an impact on my life. And the next morning, I bypassed 3, 4, 5 churches and made my way to the Cornwall Pentecostal Church. I'd never been there. And I know that that was the leading of the Holy Spirit back then. And he knew what all I needed, and he prepared me. So I sat in that church for 24 years before God moved me on. I attended Pastor's sister's funeral this year, and there weren't that many people there. It was a very, very stormy night, a lot of snow. It was bad weather. And because there weren't that many people, Pastor Bussey and I were able to sit down together for a good long period of time and rehash and talk about the times we had together. And at the end, they sang that beautiful song, Farther Along. And these were the songs that I was bred on, and all the songs on the cross and the blood of Jesus. And to this day, I miss some of the old ones that we used to sing. They were so powerful, and you just listened to them, and they touched you so deeply. So with all the changes that are in the church today, when it comes to music, I thank God for the generation I lived in and was able to enjoy all that good stuff. Amen. When I was saved in the Cornwall Pentecostal Church, I'm giving you a little background because I know that maybe 5, 6, 7 people are here today that were here or were at the Cornwall Pentecostal Church when I was saved. And I'm looking at them today, and first of all, when I seen Jackie coming in, I mean, you would have wanted to know that lady 40 years ago. She was a firecracker, and she had such a passion for the things of God, and she had a prison ministry, and we shared so much together. I look at Leona, faces that we spent so many years together, the Marions, the Linda, Niles. It's just amazing to see all these familiar faces today. The first transition, and that's what I want to talk to you about today, but before I pursue it, I just want to say many of us go through transitions, and my first transition was then in 1978, and God transitioned me from darkness to light, greatest transition of my life. I've had several since then, but that one was huge. Because when you have been touched by the hand of God, and when God opens the eyes of your understanding to the things of the kingdom, you're never the same again. And your life is revolutionized, totally revolutionized. You become a new creature, as the word says. You're no longer the same. Everything is brand new in your life. And as I said, he led me to the Pentecostal church that morning. And after a year of being in the Cornwall Pentecostal Church, God began to use me to disciple. And again, it was the leading of the Spirit who brought me all the way to Syracuse, New York. I thought I was there for a weekend to spend time with an aunt of mine, but as soon as I got there, God moved upon my life, and I came back with a book to Cornwall called 3D. They've changed the name of that book. Today it's called A New Beginning. But back then, I knew God was calling me to disciple people, and I began that, and I did it for 24 years. So the next transition in my life wouldn't happen till 1998, 1999, around there. And it was the summertime, and my pastor was away vacationing for 3 weeks. And he had asked me to take the services on a Sunday morning, and I said yes. And I chose to minister on Luke, where it's all about the calling of the disciples. And when I focused on the verse in Luke 5:5, where Jesus is speaking to Peter and he's telling him to put his net out on the other side, they had caught nothing. Peter answered, "Well, Lord, we caught nothing, but nevertheless, at thy word, I will put down the net." And as I read that scripture, the Spirit of the Lord again came upon me. And the Lord said to me, the Spirit of God said to me, "It's time for you to put out the net." And I was totally shocked. First of all, I had no idea what the net was. I didn't know where he wanted me to drop it. I didn't know when I was supposed to drop it. I had no clue. And as you know, God never gives you too much information, because then you wouldn't be walking by faith. Amen? He gives you just enough. Just enough that you get on your knees and you start looking to him for the answers. That was my next assignment. That was the second transition of my life. And I've noticed something through the years. I've noticed that our calling as God's people, when God calls us, it always remains the same. We're called. We're the called according to his purpose. We are the called. Our identity in Christ remains the same. We are always the sons of God. Amen. We are always sealed by his Spirit. We are sent out. And the only thing that may change is our assignment. And you never know when God will give you a new job description. So when you're familiar with doing 24 years of the same thing, and all of a sudden God tells you to throw out the net, it's a little shocking. It can be a little disturbing at times, not knowing what it is God is expecting from you, but you do know in your heart of hearts that you've heard from him, and you can't let go. You can't deny that calling on your life. So God was about to change the way things were in my life, and was going to use me in a greater capacity. As I said, I didn't fully realize what all God had in mind. But something strange happened. Just about that time when I'm really seeking God and fasting and saying, "Okay, God, I heard, but you're going to have to direct me." Sister Bussie came over one morning. She had bought some bread at one of the bakeries on Pitt Street, and she knew there was a certain kind of bread I really loved. So that morning she stopped by the house, and she said, "Shirley, I brought you some bread." And at the same time, for some reason, she said, "I came across this today. And I was reading it, and I just felt compelled to come over and to give you this." So I was very interested in knowing what that was. And she handed me a little piece of paper, and on it it said, "Seed must be sown to bring forth the grain. Nothing is born without suffering and pain." And God never plows in the soul of a man without purpose, intention, and plan. And that so touched my heart, and I still couldn't fully understand what all was in that little message that was being given to me, but I realized it a little bit later, that this new thing God was doing would also bring with it major changes, major difficulty, huge challenges. And again, as anyone that is called, whether it be Joseph, who's given a dream about the future, we know people just don't get to fulfill that dream until they first head for a pit or a prison. Amen. There's always something in the way that will challenge that calling on your life. And you're going to have to know that you know that you know that you heard God speak. And these are the times of testing for all of us. God was speaking into my life that nothing would be born, no ministry could be born without suffering and pain. It would require much prayer. So little did I realize I was on the border at that time in my life of the promised land. And there were giants wanting to keep me out. And they do. Giants of fear. Amen. Giants, sometimes I think of John the Baptist, who was the precursor and the one who was telling everybody about the coming Messiah. And yet when he went through the hard place and he was behind prison doors, he questioned, is he really Jesus Christ? Is he really the Son of God, the one who was to come? In other words, why am I behind bars if this is really Jesus? So those places serve a purpose in God, and they serve a purpose because that's when we really have to be sure that we've heard right, because everything depends on it. God is calling us to a deeper place, as was said this morning, and it was right on. God is always calling us to a deeper place. He's got so many things on his mind, and his plans are so perfect. Whatever he's got planned for you, for me, for anybody, and even though I'm retired, I still feel like a spring chicken, and I figure there's another assignment somewhere along the road. I'm not ready to sit in a rocking chair and knit any Afghan anywhere soon. God is faithful, as we sang this morning. He made a way for his purposes in my life to prevail. It was his purpose. It wasn't mine. It was his idea. It wasn't mine. He had something in mind that he knew I could handle or trusted me with. And so he launched me into this new place. And At Thy Word Ministries was born. And I was ordained, I believe, in 2002 and served as a pastor there for the last 18 years. It's been a very exciting time for me. I enjoy every minute of it. And when you change from teaching to pastoring, you're learning quite a few things along the way because they are so totally different. This year, another transition took place. As you know, and you may have heard, we have merged with the Life Center in Ottawa. Officially, that happened on the 2nd of September. And the Bouchers, Jason Boucher, the son of Barry Boucher, some of you may know him and Joyce. He was in the Cornwall area long, long time ago. But I admit the Bouchers during my transition from the Pentecostal church to the church plant of At Thy Word. And God had a plan even back then for that encounter, that I would meet the Bouchers, because later on they would become... I would build a relationship with them throughout the years. And when I was away, they would come and serve in my church and pastor for me. And so when the time for change was coming, the transition was coming, God had something in mind that I had no clue about. And I just want you to know that when anything is done in God's timing, it always works out perfectly. But it's got to be God's timing. It cannot be our own. I felt very honored and affirmed and loved and humbled by the goodness of God as the transition ended with an incredible celebration at the church. And I also thank God for the affirmations and the love that I received from all the pastors in the city, from the ministerial. Now, enough about my transitions. But I would like to continue speaking on this subject if we would just bow and pray this morning. Father, this morning our prayer is that you would continue to visit each one of us with grace during all of our seasons of transition. And may we always find you in our times of pain and difficulty, and trust you in our times of having to wait on you. And may the one who redeems all things meet us as we journey onward through the changes that are so necessary in all of our lives. And Lord, help us travel through life with greater skill and grace, arriving on the other side with a deeper and a richer faith in you alone. And we pray that in Jesus' wonderful name. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness today. Amen. I'm sure many of you have transitioned at some time or another. And transition can come in so many ways, as you know. Just a change of jobs sometimes can be difficult. Moving from one country to another country can be difficult. Sometimes marriages come to an end and change happens and children have to transition to another home. We all encounter it in our lifetimes. It's part of living. And there are opportunities and there are challenges that are unique in times of transition and change. And that's when we have to wrestle with some critical questions that I've had to wrestle with over the years, and I'm sure many of you. For example, is it possible to possess and retain a vital faith that prompts us to be at our best when things are at their worst? Let me say that one again. Is it possible to possess and retain a vital faith that prompts us to be at our best, because that's what faith does, when things are at their worst? Because when things are at their worst, we're told in the scriptures that we should be those who shine like a light in a dark place. Amen? So when we're going through those difficult times, is it possible for us to keep on believing in our faith, keep on being strong, even though we feel at times that all hell is coming against us? Is it possible? Is it possible to remain cheerful and optimistic and composed when things around us are at their worst? Is it possible? Is it possible? Amen, it's possible. With the Spirit of God, you and I can do the impossible. Amen, that's when we need Him the most, and I believe it's in those places of transition that God does His best work in our lives. So in other words, is it possible for the best version of who we are to emerge, to manifest while we're passing through a season or at times going through profound disappointment, which I'm sure we've all faced? There've been days where you and I just wonder where we're going to get the wherewithal to keep going. But for the grace of God and time alone in prayer with Him and a dependency on the Holy Spirit, we're able to rise up to the occasion and keep on keeping on, keep on trucking, as it were. There can be nerve-shattering chaos in times of transitions. Just think about it when you make a move. How many of you have ever moved? You can move in the same town from the east end to the west end, but while you're going through that move, everything is in chaos. You can't find anything. Everything's in boxes, and the truck doesn't get there on time, and everything is upside down, and it's nerve-wracking when things are not in their proper place and you're not in that familiar surrounding, that quiet place. I just lost my sister. Somebody was mentioning that as I came in today. And I lost her to cancer this year, and I watched her transition from life to death, because when they diagnosed the cancer, they had only given her about a month to live. But by the grace of God, she held on for 2 years. During that 2 years, she had been away from God, and when they diagnosed her with cancer, it brought her back to church, and she started attending every Sunday, and her faith in God started. You could see her, just the way she was thinking, start to change. And I had that wonderful time with her that we didn't have prior to that. For 2 whole years, we were able to sit together and talk about the goodness of God and talk about his faithfulness. And he gave her all that time to be able to put her house in order and be able to prepare to meet him. Our God is a good God. Sometimes through times of transition and change, people can get confused. It's disorienting. I don't know about you, but how many of you, when you were saved, a lot of people who knew you were confused about what was going on in your life? They don't understand the change. And of course, you're the one who knows that you're going through a transition within. You know what God is doing, but the people around you do not. And so they scratch their heads when they watch you do crazy things and things you never did before. So it can create a lot of havoc. It can create confusion. People can get hurt at a time when things are changing. People somehow can feel left out or abandoned when they see you move on with purpose. Amen? You know, when you look at Joseph's life and you think, well, among all the brothers, God had put his hand on that man and had a plan for his life and told him a bit about it and gave him a little vision of the future. And Joseph was well on his way, and I'm sure he had a grin from ear to ear, until he found himself in that pit. And he must have wondered just about then, what's going on, and why is this happening to me? Because people get confused. They get hurt. People do strange things when change is happening. And this is why you and I, when there's a call in our lives and we need to go in the direction God is calling us, we have to keep our wits about us and keep in touch and keep communicating with the Holy Spirit, who is making all of these changes in our lives. Can be difficult. Causes a lot of people to respond or react to the change in a very negative way. And God, by his grace, helps us through these hard times, and he gives us a sweetness that only the Holy Spirit can give. It's not in us. It has to come from the Holy Spirit. Amen. To be able to maneuver our way sometimes through these minefields and know that God has us by the hand, and he's going to take us through. He's with every step of the way. There's a proverb that says that time heals all wounds, and I don't believe that that's necessarily true. Now, some do. After time, with some people, things do heal. And sometimes with others, we can watch them become very, very, or deeply, I should say, embittered by some of the changes and things that have happened, very acidic, have a hard time adjusting to change. And we see the reaction in many people. Some people handle that very well, others do not. And transitions help us or should I say transitions, force us to choose to react one way or another. God gives us the choice. How do you want to handle this? And so again, through times of prayer, spending time before the Holy Spirit, he's able to minister to our hearts and show us the bigger picture. Because sometimes we're short-sighted as to what exactly is happening, but God has a way of giving us a big picture every once in a while so we can see things from his perspective. While transitions can offer us what I would call sometimes a greenhouse for growth, because we should be growing through hard times, it can also become a desert place where our faith goes to die. And that's a shame. It's really sad when you watch people go through hard times and rather than rise up and see things from God's perspective, they wither and their faith just simply crumbles and they lose, it seems, the joy for living or lose out on the intent God has for that transition in their lives. Our faith can die, but only if we let it. It's up to us whether or not our spiritual life prospers or our spiritual life ebbs away. Because the habits we acquire through the years, the habits of the heart and the disciplines of our lives, and as a discipler and having done that all my life, from the time God got a hold of me, I became a discipler. And even after we planted the church, that was the number one priority of passing on and teaching others what God had taught me through the years. We never, ever let go of our discipleship program. And even when we started our outreach ministry for abused women in the city, we still kept the discipleship program a priority because we know when people get saved, they have to get to know God. They have to get to know God and his ways. Because we can think we know God, but when we don't know the ways of God, we can get tripped up very easily. Amen? So the habits of the heart and the disciplines of our lives and our responses, how we respond, our reactions, are going to determine the outcome of where you and I end up in life. You have no idea how many people have asked me since I've stepped down from pastoring, since we began the transition, since my retirement, how are you doing? And they're really, it's an earnest question. It's like, how, you know, like, what are you doing now? How is it? And you can look, you can see by the expression very often, it's coming out of almost a pity, like, I don't know. How do you feel? They really don't know how to say it. But I just want to say to all of you this morning, I am the happiest person you have ever met. I enjoy my retirement. You have no idea when I wake up in the morning because I don't have the responsibilities that poor Pastor Russell has. It's a beautiful thing when those responsibilities lift. And you're not responsible any longer, but you can still preach. Look at me. So I still get to do the things that I enjoy, and my prayer is, God, keep using me. You know, there are conferences for women somewhere that there are a few things I'd like to say. I used to say, Lord, I'm good till I'm 80. As long as I can speak and I can walk up the stairs and I'll be preaching. But that was my plan. 80 was my plan. But it wasn't until I hit 74 in August that the Lord began to speak to me and tell me, well, it's your plan, but it doesn't serve my purpose just about now. So he made the decision. Things had to change. And I just want you to know that when you have to go through a transition and you are about to let go of something you're familiar with that you've been in charge of and someone else is coming in and lo and behold, the way things always go, it's never as, you know, simple, it always becomes a little bit of a challenge, because I had two people come and present this option to me to merge, two churches who wanted me to merge at Thy Word Ministries with them. So I'm saying to God, why are you making this so difficult? Why didn't you just send one? I wouldn't have to think about this, right? Because the question was, what do you want? What's your plan, and where does our church fit in to your plan? What is it that you see up the road that I can't see? You're going to help me decide, Lord, what it is that you want. And I was bound that I would not move till I found out and heard clearly from God. And God has spoken to me many times over the years through either a vision or a dream, very often. And he used dreams to make it very clear to me what I was to do this time. So from the time that I made the decision to go with what God revealed, I was able to just settle in to this new thing God was about to do, because I knew that I knew that I knew that I'd heard from God. So when you know that, then you can move on, and you have never any thought of, did I make the right decision? You know, because you can go thereafter. But when you know it's the will of God, then you can settle in and rest in the decision that you made. And I thank God for, again, speaking very clearly as to what he wanted for the future. And everything is going so well. As a matter of fact, Life Center in Ottawa have done a lot of mergers. Sometimes they do them for other churches that are looking for that. And they said they've never had a better merger, one go so well, as the one in our church. So our people didn't have to move, didn't have to change seats. You know how people are sticklers for their seats? So they never had to change seats. They could just watch other things change around them, but they were kept together and were able to move on now with the new thing God was doing. And as much as we hate to admit it, when we reach 70, 75, or 80 years old, things need to change. You know, when Moses reached that age, it was time for Joshua to show up, right? I mean, your pastor will soon be looking at that for himself. And one day, Pastor Russell will not be here. Someone younger will be moving in, and things will change. Change happens all the time. And so we have to be ready for the changes that God makes and when he's ready to make them. So transitions, as you know, serve a purpose. I'm happy, I said. And I'm happy that every time I've had questions, I've been able to go back to the scriptures. And that's where I find the answers. Everything we go through, we go back to the scriptures. In Exodus chapter 3, we found the story of God transitioning his people from slavery to freedom. We all know that story very, very well. It was not only to freedom, but it was also a transferring them from a position of not barely having anything to one that he saw in the future where they would have more than enough, plenty of everything and everything they could ever possibly want. It was the land of promise. It was a promise God made that I am taking you through this place, but you're heading somewhere. There's a destiny in mind, and it's the best that I've got for you. God hasn't changed when we're going through transitions. His thoughts are still the same. He still has the best in mind once we get through that place of transitioning. He's out to do us good in the end. That's the plan of God for each one of us. And we see in this story that God recruits Moses for the job of being in charge of this transition. And in verse 8, we read the words from the Lord. I have come down to rescue them, he says to Moses, from the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land flowing with milk and honey. Remember the first time I read those words when I first got saved? Was, wow, now our God can do that for us. God had purpose in mind. He could foresee the journey. He knew exactly what they would encounter in that little land in between, leaving the old and stepping into the new. And that land in between was extremely necessary and extremely important. Why? Because it would prepare them when they reached the border of the promised land and the giants showed up. Everything God allowed them to go through served a purpose, and we should never, ever think God has forgotten us when we're going through those difficult places in our lives, because if there's ever a time when God is watching over us to fulfill his word, it's when we're there. For the Israelites, this space in between is where they would receive, number one, God's commandments, which was at the very core of their covenant with him. They needed to know these things. They were the people of God, and they needed to know what God knew, what God wanted. It was also where the tabernacle where they would worship would be built. As following Jesus, following our Heavenly Father, following the Spirit of God, we need to hear him when he communicates, and we always need to be in a place of worshiping him and being thankful, because when we're in a place of worship, God can move immensely. You know that when we meet on Sunday morning, as you did this morning, and you worship, God inhabits the praise as he moves in upon us in our times of worshiping and drawing near to him when we allow our hearts to reach out and call on his name. And being connected to God is absolutely essential, because you don't know when the next transition will come and when you'll have to hear explicitly his word and follow his leading. Because without that connection, we cannot do anything. We cannot do anything. Can't do anything, including transitioning well. Without me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. And a lot of people try on their own to master, to do, you know, in our own strength, we think we can handle it. But God in his goodness lets us fall so that we can figure out that we can't do things in our own strength. Everything has to be done in this his strength. So this middle space wasn't meant to be wasted. It was to be a pivotal place in their formation as a people, getting ready for the best that was yet to come. And I still believe the best is yet to come in my life. Numbers mean nothing. 74, 80, 90, just a number, amen? Because with God, you feel useful. And you know God can use you even if you can't walk. God can still use you. We're still able to do so much for the kingdom of God. It was a pivotal place. They had, in their years of slavery, as you know, become acclimated to the customs of Egypt. That had to be changed. Not only were they in transition, but they also needed a transformation into God's character. Become more like Christ. Understand God, understand his ways, understand how he worked, how he did things. And we know that they also had become prone to complaining, something you and I never do. They were prone to complaining about their lot in life, and in their transitioning had become resentful of Moses' leadership. When we read that story, we're appalled at times at some of the things they did, and yet very often none of us are any different than what they did and what they encountered. The one God had chosen, they rebelled against, were resentful against. It was the Lord that had chosen Moses. It was God who had placed his hand on Moses and chose him to be the deliverer of these people. And yet they grumbled against it without realizing they were grumbling against God and God's plan and God's purpose. And they at times wanted to put an end to the changes that were so necessary to get them to their final destination. Think about that. They wanted to put an end to the changes that were so necessary to get them to their final destination. It's obvious that in their present condition, the grumbling, the complaining, they don't know God as they should, and they're unprepared to enter into the promised land, unprepared to taste the fullness of the goodness of God, the best that God had in mind. They weren't prepared for it. And we know the story. We know what happens. It's a heartbreaking story. So it's a reminder. It was a reminder to me. It's a reminder to you that we must remember that the land in between, this time of transitioning, is there to shape us, to mold us and refine us into a community of people who trust God, no matter what. No matter what. And again, he did what he did because he had a plan. And God was aiming to fulfill that plan. And it was during that time that he demonstrated his power and his provision for them. When things were the bleakest, God still showed up and made sure they were able to keep going and providing for their needs. It still wasn't the best of the best, but it was enough. Enough for them to keep quiet and not complain. They were being taken care of. It was as if God was saying to them, watch what I can do. Remember, they'd seen that Red Sea part. How can anybody forget that in the little bit of time that they did and began complaining when they ran out of food or ran out of water? How could they possibly forget what they had just seen? But God was saying to them, watch me. If I can do that, I can do so much more than that. You've seen what I can do. Learn from me is what he's saying. Watch me. Learn from me. After all, I am your God and you are my people. You belong to me. Am I not out to do you good? You and I not only need to trust God during these difficult times of transition, but we need something to help us stay focused so that we don't cave in and give up. How much time do I have, Pastor? It is 11:30. What time do you generally? 12? All righty then. Praise the Lord. All right. I said we need something to help us to stay focused so that we don't cave in and give up during these difficult times. And what is that? I want to talk about that because to me that means everything in the world. Whenever we get saved and our pastor begins to talk to us about serving the Lord and our gifts and what's your gift, and we all want to know what our gift is. Remember that? Like, what am I good for? Where can I best serve? What does God see in me? What has he placed in me? Where do I fit in? And so we go through that period of calling on God, and waiting to see that gift manifest somewhere. Ephesians 1 and 11 says that we are a chosen people, and it says we're a chosen people according to the plan. I'm going to put those words together. We are a chosen people according to the plan of him who works out everything. Transition times, bad times, good times, no times. Sometimes we feel alone, we feel left out, we feel lonely, whatever times. God is in the working out something in the times he allows us to go through. It's his plan. We're a chosen people according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the plan. Purpose purpose. In conformity with the purpose. He's working out something in your life, but it's got to fit into the greater plan and the purpose that he has. How we forget when we don't stay close to God or his word and sort of think that we're able to take over and do what we wanted. It doesn't work that way. It's always about what you want. What's your plan? How do you see the end from the beginning, Lord? You're taking me to my destination, and as far as I can see in your word, it's the best. The best is always yet to come. Purpose, purpose, purpose. What is God's purpose for our lives? What is his purpose for each one of us this morning when we sit before him? What was God's purpose in getting a hold of my life and calling me in 1978? I can speak for me. I know that God revealed by the time 1978 was over that I could teach. I think it's because from the time I got saved, you couldn't keep me away from the word and a commentary. I was sold out on it, and it was every day. It was an hour or two, so I'd open up the Bible, I'd open up my commentary, and I would study, and I would study, and I would study. So after a year, it was as though God thought, well, here we go. Maybe I can use her to teach, and that became very real when he led me to the discipleship program. And then for the next 24 years, that's all I did. Was study and study and study some more and teach and study and teach. And so God's purpose for my life was to use me as a teacher. And it took 24 years for him to prepare me to not only teach, but to get ready to pastor. Because for all intents and purposes, anybody looking at me would think I don't fit that bill. I didn't think I fit that bill. But when God wants something, God wants something, and God can make it happen. And so God transitioned me to a place of pastoring. So from teaching to pastoring for 18 years, keeping on doing what he called me to do in the first place, which was disciple. Keep on discipling, but just things are going to change. The assignment is changing a little bit. And know this, that no matter what God calls you to, whether it's an outreach for women in the city, whatever it may be, God always protects his purpose. We say, God protects me. But what he's really protecting is his purpose. Right? He's protecting what he wants to come out of you. What he placed in you. He's wanting to fulfill, he wants to see a return on his investment. He's invested an awful lot in our lives. He's given us his word. Praise his name. He's given us his Holy Spirit, where we're never alone, no matter what we go through, no matter what kind of questions we may have. And he protects his purpose, and no doubt about it, God's promises are very central to the purposes being fulfilled. What do I mean by that? Well, we're always learning about the promises of God, and we love each and every one of them. He's made so many promises to you and to me. Promises for long life, amen? With long life, he said, will I satisfy them and show them my salvation. Amen? For protection, for provision. Benefits God gives us, forgives us all of our sins, heals us from all of our diseases. What wonderful benefits from serving God. They come from his goodness and his love for each one of us. At the center of purpose is the promises that you and I stand on when difficulty comes. We're out to fulfill the purpose, but we need the promise. Because that's what we stand on, and we sing about it, standing on the promises of Christ, my King. Amen. We need his word because that is substance under our feet. It's a rock, and it keeps us, it keeps our equilibrium while we're going through the shaky places, and we're able to stay put and fulfill what God required of us when he called us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He's watching over you and protecting you because he wants to fulfill the purpose he's placed in you in this life. And there is always, always, always provision for the vision God gives. I'm amazed if I look back over time, having started with absolutely nothing. Nothing. When I say nothing, I mean not 2 cents to rub together. And yet we were able to leave a church that was over $1 million and sow seed, debt free, and sow $30,000 into the next ministry. All by the grace of God. All by the grace of God. All because of following God's precepts, following God's ways, doing it God's way, because God is able. And I remember the first $75 that I had one day, and I had started when God told me to throw out the net. And I questioned God, what net, where, what? And after praying, I began to see, well, it must be the discipleship. It's all I know. What else would God call me to do but fish for men? So I began to work at the Ramada Inn, and I remember the first night we had a meeting, after we had the meeting, a bill came in the mail. And what they required of me was nowhere near anything I had. And I remember saying to God when the bill came in, Lord, and over time, because I had had seminars there, over time the prices had changed. And I was astounded at the bill that came in because I wasn't expecting it to be that high. And I remember saying, Lord, what am I supposed to do with this? I don't even work. And here I am with this big bill. And to me, $1,000 at that time was big. When you have no money, you have no job. And I remember talking about it and somebody laughing and saying, boy, you really got yourself in a pickle now. And I got upset on the inside, and I thought, God didn't lead me here to leave me here. And I went into my bedroom and I got down on my knees and I said, Jesus, I've got a bill to pay. And it's almost $1,000, and you know I don't have a cent. And I heard God say in my prayer, take the seed that you have in your pocket and go and give it at the Ramada Inn. And tell the lady, it was as explicit as what I'm telling you right now. He said, and go and tell that lady, God told me to give you this, and he's going to pay for the rest. Think about that. When he said, take the seed I gave you, I had no clue what he was talking about at first. I couldn't connect seed to money, substance. The only seed I had was $75, and I owed it at Sears. It was money I put away for a payment. And I thought, he's got to mean that $75. What else is he talking about? Now, not only did I have to take that $75, but I had to go and tell a woman God told me to bring it and that God would pay the balance. Now, if that's not a step of faith, I don't know what that is. And I had to either believe I heard from God or I didn't. And I just want to say that had I not taken that step, we'd have never had At Thy Word Ministries for 18 years. Because that was the beginning. That night we had a meeting. We took an offering. $1,000 came in. The bill was paid. And God started to teach me about seed and giving and what God considers to be substance, kingdom substance. You and I know that we're a people in this world who understand buying and selling very well. Amen? But when we're talking about kingdom, we're not talking about buying and selling. We're talking about sowing. We're talking about giving. Amen? The kingdom of God is likened unto a seed that a man went out to sow. You can never get a harvest without sowing seed. That little word that had been given to me at the beginning of the ministry became very alive throughout the years in many forms, but it always led to give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over, but it all depended on my being willing to give that which God had given me. These wonderful lessons God gives us, we never forget. They are what keeps us so happy. A happy people. Amen? So when I first came to understand this principle, it helped me. It really helped me to progress and succeed in my purpose, the purpose God had given me. God himself sowed you and I. God sowed us into the world. That's what the word says. We are the planting of the Lord. God has sowed us into this world purposefully and exactly knew exactly where to sow us. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit in my home, I always wondered, how did the Holy Spirit know where I lived? To come on First Street into my living room and to speak to me the way that he did. It's an amazing thing. And then to lead me to where he wanted me to be and has kept doing it ever since. It's amazing. God sowed us into this world to fulfill our destiny. We all have a destiny. Our destiny is to glorify him in fulfilling the purpose he gave us. That's how you and I glorify God, is in fulfilling our purpose. When you do that, you're presenting something to him. One day we'll stand before him and we'll be able to lay something down at his feet. We'll be able to say, God, whatever you called me to do, I did it. You know, by the power of your spirit in myself, I could never have done this. But this is what I have to give you, is the fulfillment of the purpose you gave me to fulfill. That's our gift to God. I said today that being here today is a blessing for me. When I look back, I can see the hand of God in everything, every decision he ever made. Those I questioned, those I was a little confused about. But today, when I look back at every place God allowed me to walk through, I see his hand and I see how the blessing of God was there, that he had commanded his blessing to follow me all the days of my life. I love Psalm 57 as I bring my thoughts to a close. Psalm 57, verse 2 and 3 says this: I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. He sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. Because if anyone tries to stop God's purpose, God will rebuke them. God will deal with them. God will rebuke them. Because God protects his purpose. It's his purpose. So as we wait during our times of transition on God, and we all have to, we must remember, as Joseph did in the pit, waiting, that there's a caravan on the way. Don't think God's going to leave you there. You may find yourself there, but there's a caravan on the way. Just want you to know. If anybody here this morning is in a difficult place, you're wondering when you're coming out, just let me tell you, there's a caravan. And it's on its way. God never leaves us, nor forsakes us. It's part of the plan. So he has a plan to bring you out of that middle place into your destiny. And no outside force or circumstance can stop what God has planned for you and the purpose he has in your life. So I'll close with this thought today. In Isaiah 46, 10, 11, he says, my purpose will stand in your life, and I will do all that I please. What I have said, that I will bring about, and what I have planned, that I will do. Bless you, Lord. This morning, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that you saved us, entrusted us with your precious word and your presence, turned our lives completely upside down, redeemed us from the pit, and you sealed us, Lord. You sealed us. Set us apart, sanctified our lives to be used by you for your intentions, your purposes. And we bless your name today. We glorify you. We thank you for every place we've walked through, every transition you had us go through. We see it as being a blessing in all of our lives today. It didn't, we didn't go through it without God's purposes prevailing in the end. And we thank you for this wonderful opportunity today to share your word. Lord, to encourage one another. We thank you for God's precious body across this city today. All those, Lord, who love your name, who are gathering together to praise and honor you and to worship you. And we thank you that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. Just receive all of our praises this morning, Lord. And may the seed that was sown here this morning fall on good ground and bring forth a great harvest in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me today.